The 400th Corn Belt Farm Hour is on the air. The Iowa Dairy Industry Commission, in cooperation with the American Dairy Association and in the interest of the nation's dairy farmers, again brings you the Corn Belt Farm Hour. There's a special significance in today's program. In addition to being our final farm broadcast of 1944, today's feature marks the 400th presentation of the Corn Belt Farm Hour, representing nearly 8 years of untiring effort on the part of WHO's Farm Service Director, Herb Plambeck. During these years, the Corn Belt Farm Hour has followed a rather general plan, bringing new ideas in agriculture, promoting worthwhile projects of interest to farm families, recognizing production jobs well done, honoring farm champions, and presenting countless interviews with interesting people. Today, however, we deviate from the usual pattern, presenting a tribute to all farm families for the magnificent wartime job just completed. But first, we call on Lucia and the Symphony for a special number entitled, I Don't Want to Love You.
I don't want to love you. Please don't let me care. This heart of mine is taking me nowhere. If I only knew there was a chance that you could feel the way I do, how different it would be. In my dreams, and if I'm not sure my dreams are your dreams too, then I don't want to love you like I do.
And now, before presenting today's special tribute, a brief message from our sponsor. Once again, we are on the threshold of a new year, and the war still goes on. There will be sorrow and many a heartache. There will be battles to be fought and won, final victory and the peace to come. And we can all look forward to the time when the boys come back, when families, united again, can gather around their fireside. Home, home in the good old USA. We can look forward to the America we knew, where the table will be set again, the American way, with meat and potatoes, with plenty of butter, golden, delicious butter, to make bread taste better again, to use butter for this and for that, just as much as we please. Yes, that is the America we knew. That is the America we shall know again. And now to our 400th Corn Belt Farm Hour feature, a dramatization prepared by the WHO Farm Program and Production Department. Farm Service Director Herb Klambeck will serve as narrator for The Farmer in 1944.
Our scene, a typical Midwestern farm home. Time, Christmas Eve, 1944. We find the mother of the family seated at the living room table. She's writing a letter to son Bill, who has been overseas for nearly a year. Dad is reading the farm section of the daily paper, while 16-year-old Mary and 12-year-old Jimmy are seated with Mom at the table. As Mother turns back the pages of a long year, her troubled thoughts are reflected in her message to Bill.
Oh, it's so hard to write. See how this sounds, Dad.
Yeah.
Dear son, here it is, Christmas again, and we all keep thinking how wonderful it was to have you with us last Christmas, even though your visit was short. It just seemed to make our holiday complete. But tonight we're lonely, as Mother knows you must be, so far away from home. Since we can't be together tomorrow, we want you to know our thoughts are with you every minute of the day. That's about all I can think of to say.
Oh, Mom, tell him something interesting, like about sporting me catching 4 rabbits today, and maybe about my calf eating like the dickens and weighing almost 500 pounds.
Jimmy, Bill's not interested in things like that now. Tell him how anxious his Ruthie is for him to come back, and about the new dress she bought so she could have her picture taken for him. Tell him about...
What were you going to say, Dan?
Oh, I was just going to suggest telling him about the good crops we've had around here this year and about those fine hogs we marketed last week. Bill always was interested in the farm that way.
Sure, Dad. Shucks. Guess there's no reason why Mom can't tell him all those things, is there?
And so the letter was begun again. An interesting, full letter about the things Bill wanted to know. It told of the challenges this humble family had met, the obstacles overcome during the past 12 months. The first challenge had arisen shortly after Bill had sailed overseas. It was at the Township AAA meeting that a weary group of neighbors, tired from long hours of hard, unceasing labor, were given their first challenge for the year ahead.
Folks, come to order, please. Our county chairman is here tonight to tell us about this year's farm production. He says we've got to produce more. Frankly, I don't see how we can do it. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman. You tell the folks what we need.
Thanks, Judd. Your skepticism is understandable. But I'll try and explain. Friends, we're still at war, and our government needs more food. Last year, we asked for increased production. I wasn't sure it could be done, but it was done. Now we must increase some crops even more. Take corn, for instance. We need nearly 10% more. You can all figure out what that means on your own farm. It's the same with soybeans. We need more of them. Other crops can be about the same. And livestock, too. We still need more milk and more poultry. When it comes to hogs, though, we've got to ease up a little if we're going to make our feed supplies reasonable.
This, then, was the challenge, and each of the assembled farm neighbors wondered if he could again do the job, again match and surpass the mighty achievements of past years. Each knew his machinery was a year older. He knew it would be harder to hire extra help.
Gotta get that mower and hay loader fixed now. Help, that's it. Gotta get help. Maybe George can come over like last year. There. Sure is funny, George, how this daggone disc seems to hang on year after year.
Yeah, guess that's right. Sure is funny.
I've said that for 2 years now. Yet it's got to last through 1944. You know, George, when this war's over, I'm going to buy me a spanking new disbagash.
Me too. I got a machine about shot myself. There. Yep, just about shot. But if I can patch him up now, that it's too cold to do much chores, I figure we'll save us a lot of time this summer.
As my son Bill would say, you can say that again.
Say, when does your pig crop start coming?
Well, since we got the REA and lights in the hog house, we've been having pretty good luck with them in March. Early March, I mean. Got to start penning up some of the sows next week. Like they said at the meeting, government doesn't seem to want so many pigs this year. I don't know. I'm a little scared. I don't want to see anybody going hungry.
Yeah, I sure don't either.
And so the early part of the year was marked with much uncertainty. Various market gluts and ugly price disparities were encountered by hog producers, and the egg market took a turn for the worse. Mother, gathering the eggs one evening, had just reprimanded Dad for neglecting the chicken feeders that day. And Dad replied angrily,
"More feed? Why feed them at all? Got more eggs now we know what to do with. The stores don't want them."
"Now, Dad."
"Why, only this morning, George told me the government was selling eggs to the feed processing plants for a nickel a case."
"Well, I don't care. So long as our Bill and the rest get what they need to eat. When I think about him over in those foreign places,
oh, I..." "Now, there, Ma, there. Shut. I was only fooling."
Yes, that's the way Mom and all the other folks with sons or daughters in service felt. Problems, hardships, rationing, price differentials, all these home front inconveniences were unimportant so long as the boys over there got what they needed when they needed it. And there were problems. Because of bad weather, oats and other spring grains went in late. Then, corn planting time and more rain. Oceans of it.
Oh, hang it all. Won't it ever stop raining? We're 2 weeks late with the corn now. This cloud burst means more planting loss, more topsoil loss, and more work. Day and night, more work.
Yes, it's hard on the gardens and the chickens, too.
Golly, tomorrow's junior senior dance is going to be all washed out. Don will never be able to drive through all this mud to get me now.
Not with that old jalopy of his, he won't.
Oh, phooey.
But what's really tough is that the game with Northville will be rained out again. And just when I was getting a chance of playing the second, too.
Who's on second? No, Jim's on second. Who's on first? What's on third?
Oh, cut out the corny stuff, sis. You ain't funny.
Yes, everyone had their trials and tribulations, and things did look discouraging. Rain fell all through May, and despite tireless efforts, whenever soil conditions permitted, there was still a lot of corn to be planted early in June. Then on June 6th, primary election day in many Midwestern states, after a quick trip to the polls and after working very late, Dad and Mom were listening to Jack Shelley and Bob Burlingame giving the returns when suddenly Bobby Griffin cut in.
"We interrupt our election reports for a special bulletin from the WHO newsroom. A report has just come in that British and American troops have landed on the coast of France. I'll repeat that bulletin, ladies and gentlemen. A United Press report."
D-Day had come. Men were pouring ashore in Normandy, perhaps at a terrible cost in human lives. Bill and all his buddies were coming to grips with the Nazis. Weather was bad. The channel was the roughest in 40 years. But the Allies were establishing beachheads. And, like the magic of radio that brought news of our boys' progress, the spirit of the men under Eisenhower reached back home to every city, every town, every farm. Uncertainty and doubt were replaced by resolution, determination. Overnight, the farmer and his family became full-fledged soldiers of the soil. As the weather improved, they went to work harder than ever.
getting pretty late. You better come in now.
The lights are all right, Dad. I've only got two more rounds to go.
Oh, all right, then. Tell Jim to come in with the horses. It's too dark.
He'd rather be putting in beans than home milking, Dad.
Well, we're through milking. Tell him to come on in. Supper's ready.
Okay, Dad. I'll tell him.
A family working together. Gone were the terrible, anxious hours just after D-Day. Word had come that Bill was safe in France. So everyone pitched in. Mom with her Red Cross work. Mary with her 4-H war bond sales. Young Jimmy with his big scrap drive. And Dad, well, in addition to all his other work, attended soil conservation meetings, helping to plan and encourage practices that would keep precious topsoil from being mined too hard during these war years. And then the tasseling and harvest time came. The help shortage pinched more than ever. Again, every member of the family pitched in. Every available harvesting machine was used, and that wasn't all. City folks organized volunteer crop corps and worked on nearby farms after office hours. For many, it was a new and hard experience, and in some ways, it was fun. At least it was different than tramping over a golf course.
Come on, Joe, set those shocks up straight.
Yeah, we don't want them to fall down before we leave the field.
How'd you like to do this for a living,
kid? Not on your life. Boy, is my back tired. Oof.
Well, with 30 guys out every night this week, we can chalk a lot of grain.
I'm sure glad I signed up for the Crop Corps.
And so were farm families, for the thousands of Crop Corps workers and Victory Farm volunteers rendered a priceless service, helping bring in food for Victory. The harvest finished, and our boys pushing forward in France, Italy, and in the Pacific, farm families took things just a little easier. The county fair, though greatly curtailed compared to pre-war, was nevertheless an important event.
Well, the old fair isn't what she used to be, but still quite a thing for the youngsters. I hope that judge gives Jim's calf another good look.
Stop being so nervous, Dad. A body would think you were the one being judged.
Well, that's a good calf. Might not quite be a champion, but darn near it.
He's done. They've got him placed.
Oh, sure. Jim could just as well have been first. Oh, well, second ain't bad.
Jim will be a good sport about it, and Bill will be pleased. Look, here comes Mary.
Mighty excited, seems as though.
Oh, Mother and Dad, look. The purple ribbon on my canned goods display. Oh, gee.
Oh, wonderful, Mary. You surely deserve it. Now Bill will be delighted.
And then school started again, and the war bond drive continued with Dad, as well as Mary, taking a very active part. Jim's scrap collection went over 1,600 pounds, a real boost for the future farmers club to which he belonged. Work on the farm continued, with neighbors helping each other at combining beans and in other ways. The weather remained good.
Just what we need for the corn.
We can get at it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and if the frost stays away, it'll be a bumper crop.
And the frost did stay away, well into November in some areas. It was a bounteous harvest. Golden ears piled to overflowing in the cribs and driveways. Mechanical pickers drawn by tractors equipped with lights worked long into the night. Hand huskers were up long before dawn, banging ears against the bangboard. Sometimes, though, under the pressure of the long hours and the lack of help, the ever-dangerous power machinery resulted in painful and tragic farm accidents.
Too bad about Frank. Doctors say he may lose his arm.
Yeah, just can't be careful enough around these machines.
Working so late, does it?
Yeah, I guess so. But it's happened, so now let's get a bunch together to help get the rest of his corn out.
And that's what they did. All the neighbors and their wives assembled early one morning. They made short work of the 40 acres of corn and of the fine noon meal the ladies prepared. And Frank, recuperating in a hospital, was thankful for his good neighbors. Thanksgiving time. In millions of homes all over the nation, there were prayers of gratitude for another year closer to victory. for the progress our boys and the Allies had made for another season of bumper crops. In churches all through the land, Harvest Sunday services expressed universal thankfulness.
And so, O Lord, for these thy gifts, we thank thee. Amen.
Yes, the gifts taken from the soil were plentiful. In the great state of Iowa alone, the corn crop exceeded 607 million bushels, the largest ever produced by any state in the Union. Soybeans piled up to 45.5 million bushels, a new record. Though some grains and potatoes and beef supplies were smaller, record production was seen for eggs and for dairy products. Boys riding home from fighting fronts expressed sincere appreciation for a job well done.
Dear folks, just a word to let you know that I'm all okay. We had turkey and all the trimmings for Thanksgiving, which reminded me of those happy holidays back home. I appreciate your many letters telling about happenings on the farm. We know your job is tough, just as ours is here. But it sure helps to know folks on the farm front are on the job. It sort of makes our fighting seem more worthwhile, and it helps us to...
Winter came. Farmers prepared for its iciest blast. Then, from the Western Front came news from Jack Shelley. News of a serious German counteroffensive, of Nazi paratroopers and Panzer divisions breaking through. News that made us forget such a trivial thing as cold weather. Enemy pressure increased for several days. Anxious families listened intently to their radios. In the Pacific, war news was more encouraging. Then the weather improved on the Western Front, and our doughboys fared better. Farmers already had their production programs for 1945 outlined. Again, they would be hard to follow, but all through the war, farmers had not failed. And surely Bill and his buddies over there will again get what they need from the farm front in 1945. Christmas 1944 wasn't the happiest Christmas for Mother, Dad, Mary, Ruth, nor Jimmy, but their hopes and their prayers were for a brighter future.
And so, my son, I must close this letter. Again, I say we're lonely tonight. But that loneliness is overshadowed by our understanding that we have a mutual problem to solve. We'll solve it too, son. Love, from Mom, Dad, Mary, and Jim.
The Farmer in 44, a dramatization of agriculture's part in this year's war effort, has been presented as a special feature on this, the 400th Corn Belt Farm Hour. Original scripts were prepared by John Wherry, Bill Diamond, and Herb Plambeck of the WHO Farm Department. Production was under the direction of Al Bell. Herb Plambeck, Farm Service Director, served as narrator, and members of the WHO staff participated as the cast. We shall be glad to have listeners' remarks on this program. And now, to conclude, here is Don Hovey and the Symphony with Get on the Bandwagon.
In conclusion, I want to give you a highlight from another of the outstanding farm broadcasts of the year. It's about the unseen guest at your family dinner table. Wherever you are, anywhere in America, I quote, "Not only your unseen guest, but your unseen host. For it was he who, through extra toil and sacrifice, made the abundant food on the table possible. Perhaps at your table, your unseen guest will be my farm friend in Iowa, who struggled so hard in the early hours of the morning to bring through that litter of pigs to help provide food. Or maybe it's the sheepman, the cattleman, or the grain farmer. And last but not least, your unseen guest and host may be the American dairy farmer. In particular, my friend who, faced with the shortage of help and the shortage of equipment, carried on against great odds to keep vital dairy products flowing. Let me recall a heroic task of this friend of mine, who late at night, after concluding a long day of toil, received a message that his only son, who he was hoping would someday take over the farm, had been killed in action in the South Pacific. This friend arose as usual the next morning, and with his lantern made his way to the barn to carry on. On the way into the barn, he noticed the old leather coat hanging on the nail of the barn door, where it had been hung the day his son had answered the country's call. He said that as he passed it, it seemed to speak out and say, "Carry on, Dad, and keep those supplies coming, for my friends in the foxholes are depending on you." Not only did he produce his quota, but he increased it by 1/4 over his record of the previous year. So as we sit down at our tables, be they here in America, in the mess halls of our training camps, or in the foxholes of the battlefront, the farmer who produced the nation's food will be our unseen guest and host. End quote. Yes, that's one of the finest tributes to the fine patriotic spirit of the American farmer I have ever heard. Who said it? Everett Mitchell on the Voice of the Dairy Farmer, National Network radio program sponsored by the American Dairy Association and the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission. And it's such a tribute that gives a real understanding by all of the faith and idealism of the farm people of America. Yes, it's well to remember that this understanding is being brought about through the nationwide program of the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission and the American Dairy Association.
Listen again at the same time next Saturday for another Corn Belt Farm Hour. And if you live outside Iowa or near the boundary of the state, tune in every Sunday noon to The Voice of the Dairy Farmer, an NBC broadcast with Everett Mitchell and Clifton Utley. The Voice of the Dairy Farmer is sponsored by the American Dairy Association, in which all Iowa dairy farmers have an active part through the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission. And remember, next Saturday, your hosts on our Corn Belt Farm Hour will again be the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission and the American Dairy Association. And now for Herb Flambeck, Bill Diamond, John Wherry, Eileen Chives, Lucia Thorne, Don Hovey and the Symphony, and your announcer, Bobby Griffin, we wish you a very happy new year and one that will bring peace and happiness to everyone. The 400 400th Corn Belt Farm Hour was produced in the studios of WHO Des Moines.